There was so much Bollywood in our lives, even when we were in Nepal, even in India. I mean, our TV cables all had Indian channels. And it was so fun to watch Bollywood films. So I grew up being a Bollywood fanatic. And for me, Mumbai was the dream that I would go to.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra. Namaste and welcome to Hamro Yatra. In the second episode of season 2, we are joined by Parakram Rana, who is currently working as a content creator in Kathmandu, Nepal. With over 80,000 followers on Instagram and over 100,000 followers on TikTok, I'm sure you've come across one of his viral TikTok videos, his vlogs on YouTube, and most recently, his first music video called Yatra. In this episode, Parakram takes us on his journey from studying and working in India to returning back to Nepal and how he got started in the fields of content creation. We go over his life as a content creator, what that entails, and how he has been able to use all his experiences so far. Parakram is full of zest and creativity, making him a perfect match for the dynamic world of content creation. I hope you enjoy listening to his journey as much as I did.
Hi Parakram, welcome to Hamro Yatra. It's lovely having you with us today.
Hello, hello, and nice to have me here at your podcast.
Now, Parakram, for those who don't know you, how would you introduce yourself?
If I introduce myself in my work sphere, then I'm a content creator, but otherwise it's so like, I don't know what to call myself. I think I'm Parakram Rana. I create content to entertain people on social media. I'm very much active on social media. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, that's what it is.
Thanks for that. Now, let's get into some icebreakers. If you had to choose a superpower, what would it be?
I had to choose a superpower, it would be getting into people's minds, which is quite a mind F, but out, which would really like, ruin my mind.
To listen what they're thinking or to manipulate or to change what they're thinking.
To know what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. If they're like honest about their opinions, if they really see what they mean.
Yeah.
If I'm, you know, I think there's been a lot of betrayals in my life with friends and stuff growing up that I'm like, I need to know. And I just still don't get it at times.
Sounds fair. Now, if you could go back into time, any period in Nepal's history, which moment would you choose?
Oh my God, I would definitely not go back into the times of my ancestors because they would murder me for being who I am. History, you know, when I think about going back in time, I feel like times weren't as open, wasn't as forward. So I wouldn't have liked to go back in history. Mm-hmm. Not in Nepal, but like just to view in Egypt, just during the whole pyramid times, that really amazes me. Maybe view from like above and not live there. I think the times are really tough back then.
Yeah. Like, I guess even with pyramids, not just the outside, the inside structure, the whole art, like I think they have everything inscribed with hieroglyphics and whatnot. Like, it was just amazing for that time, isn't it?
It still amazes me. Like, people say that Roman Empire, how many times do you think about the Roman Empire? I really do think about the Egyptian Empire.
That's your Roman Empire.
that's my Roman Empire.
Now, I'd like to start the podcast with talking about childhood because I do think your childhood is such a formidable time of your life. Mm-hmm. Parakram, what was your childhood like? How were you as a child?
As a child, when I see my videos, I was really cute and naughty. I'm still a good boy. I was always a good boy. Little tantrums here and there I would throw to my parents. But I think my childhood also had a lot of understanding myself and feeling very different from the rest of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because you grew up around boys, you grew up around things that maybe boys do growing up.
Yeah.
And that was the time where I was like, oh my God, I'm so different. So I never enjoyed doing any of those things. And I think at that time, it really made me feel like, who am I? Why am I not enjoying this while others were? It was quite like interesting now when I think about it, but like tough, traumatic, mm-hmm. I feel.
Of course. Now, do you remember what age you were when you started noticing that how you might have been different or you might like different things?
You know, I think of what I can recall is that, you know, as soon as when we started playing sports, that's when I realized I was not into it, even though all the boys really seemed to enjoy it. And the second thing was like, while my brothers were playing with Action Mans, I would enjoy playing my sister's Barbie dolls. So that was also another very early time when I was like, I'm different. Like, oh, boys play with Action Man, G.I. Joe's, fighting, all of that, cars. My interest was more towards, also towards Action Man, but it had to have a Barbie as well. Like, you know, and just the whole idea of like beautifying the Barbie, brushing their hair, changing their clothes, all of that was like so much fun. So that was also another indicator that I was not like the other boys.
Mm-hmm. And were you able to openly express to your family as well?
So, you know, while playing Barbies, I think my parents were really, I mean, I was blessed that they didn't stop me from playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, I knew that boys don't play Barbie dolls, but then my interest, I mean, my parents never stopped me from doing what I wanted to do, unless it would harm anyone. And I guess I had that freedom to play with Barbies, you know. After a certain time, I also started buying my own Barbies, and so I was lucky that way.
Mm-hmm. That's really good to hear. I know that now that I have my own daughter as well, she's got a really good friend who's a boy, and her mom tries to make sure that she's buying a lot of diverse toys for the boy. Yeah. And I remember she got this pink pram, and most of her family started berating her for buying a pink pram for the little boy. First of all, why is the boy having a pram? That's not a boy's thing. Why is it pink? I think it's 2024. It's in Australia. And even with a Western family, like, there's still so many stigmas and stereotypes associated with small things that it's crazy to think back in those days, it could be even more difficult and different.
For sure. For sure. I think it's amazing that a boy is also playing the role of a woman and being more getting in touch with their feminine side. It doesn't turn them being gay, but it doesn't turn them in their sexuality or their orientation in any ways. It just helps them be more emotional, right? I think every masculine energy needs to be in touch with their feminine energy, mm-hmm. and vice versa. It's a balance that is very important.
And I think it's also about role modeling, in a sense that they see their fathers being more engaged with parenting, right? Like using the prams and whatnot. It's not like the old days where the men can't do anything related with children anymore, with their babies anymore. So being able to see that, your mom actually goes to work, your dad can stay home. So those different dynamics, I think it's quite important. And children learn so much from that too. Parakram, for your undergrad studies, you went to India to finish your bachelor's in media studies from Mumbai University. How was that experience for you?
And that was very overwhelming and fun. Before that, I was in a boarding school in India itself, Rajasthan, from class 5 to class 12. So growing up, there was so much Bollywood in our lives, even when we were in Nepal, even in India. I mean, our TV cables all had Indian channels. And it was so fun to watch Bollywood films. So I grew up being a Bollywood fanatic. And for me, Mumbai was the dream that I would go to. So I was very excited when like leaving an all-boys boarding school and going to Mumbai in a free world. And around that time, I was also like out to some of my close people. I was like, now is the time I can be my free self in Mumbai, a new life and Bollywood and just... So it was amazing. Bombay 3 years, there was studies as well, but it was also a lot of fun. You know how college life is all about the last few years of being able to have fun. Mm-hmm. I think I did all of that in Bombay and also learned a lot and grew a lot there. It was good.
Yeah. Now, with this degree, were you hoping to get into a certain field? Were you getting into advertising, or what was the aim of getting this degree then?
I wanted to be a director growing up. I was always interested in being a director. I used to make short films at home with my family members, with my staff.
That's so cool. Yeah,
like small like skits or music videos, and I used to direct them. And so that was something I always wanted to do. However, my father told me that instead of studying like a film course, why don't you do your undergrad in like an advertising field or a media field, so that after that, then you can do your master's in film if you want to do it. And I think it worked out perfectly, because I think 1 year into getting into the course, the media course, I did intern for a movie as an AD, as an assistant director. And that's when I realized it's not for me. It's too tough. Mm. It's too hard. There's a lot of work hours. I said, no, I cannot do direction professionally. So luckily I did this media course. I listened to my dad. And then I majored in advertising towards the third year. And I think it worked out great for me, because after that, everything that I've been doing has got marketing, and the skills have been needed to market and advertise. Even with my content creation, I think by the end of it, like, my name is a brand that I have to market and advertise. Yeah, so it worked out well for me.
Yeah. I also noticed that you did a few internships in different fashion areas as well. Was that always an interest for yourself?
Yes. You know, after direction, I was like, what next? I was like, okay, fashion is fun, super cool. I have the knack for it. And that's when I started like putting my focus towards fashion. And that's when I was like, Vogue is the best. And I was like, I need an internship here. They have this 3-month internship where, you know, young people get it for 3 months. And then after that, if they're good, they could stay on, or they can then start their journey, career into fashion. So that's what I was aiming at. And I really worked towards it. I manifested it and worked. And I started meeting people. I started asking the questions if they know someone. And somehow it all worked out. And I got the Vogue internship. And it was great. It was my first and last office job, even though it was an internship. And I really enjoyed it, because there was so much research and styling and things, and with like big stars, because it's Vogue. So I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It turned out really good.
Is it anything like Devil Wears Prada?
You know, our bosses were really sweet. There is, one of Vogue's senior people, Anita Shroff. She's iconic. She's like the Anna Wintour of India. But she's really sweet. Very sweet. And she is a strong personality. Yeah. But a very sweet and encouraging woman. So it was great to be under her. And I think it was just so nice and like bougie. And it was just like everyone's just doing
what
cool
dreams
stuff.
Are made of.
Yeah, what dreams are made of. But I left after 3 months. I'm like, no, I need to go to the real world and do styling if I want to grow.
So after this experience and then going into styling as well, how did you end up into content creation back in Nepal?
So styling was, I think it had been 2016, 17, 18, about 3 years I was styling. I was assisting, because you can't become a stylist directly. But, you know, in those 3 years, which was really tough, I realized that I can never be it'll be very tough for me to be a stylist myself, because there's a lot of management. There's a whole like team management, and everything falls under you. If the look, something with the look goes wrong, it's on you. If the clothes that you've borrowed from designers, PRs, get spoiled, you need to be answerable. You can't make the actor pay for it, for your mistakes, and tailor it. And there's so many aspects to it. Yeah. I was like, this is a lot of pressure. I will turn gray. I will have sleepless nights when it's all on me. And when I finally started styling by myself, which was a short stint of maybe 6 months after assisting for 3 years. It was great, but I realized I need a partner. And even then, it was tough. and how, and it wasn't like the pay is so much that, you know, that it would entice me. It was good enough, but you're also paying your team, you're paying so many other things from the money you get. So I needed to find something else, and social media and these Instagram bloggers were starting to grow. There were some bloggers in Mumbai, mostly women who were doing some really cool stuff and getting attention, and it was the age of the Instagram influencers, and I was like, oh my god, this is so fun. I've been posting about my styling on Instagram, and I've gained a decent following already, and I would love to style myself and put myself first. And that's when I started doing that. Then I was like, all the styling that I do, all the stylists, the connects I've gotten styling celebrities, let me use that for myself as well. And that's when I started then, like, you know, creating some interesting looks for myself. And then I made a website, and I was like, let me start writing about my looks and my inspirations. And that's when my journey started, about 2017 in India. So I was there in India as a content creator 2017, 18, 19, about 3 years and a few months. So I was already doing that in India, and it was going really well. You know, I was getting good work, good collaborations. It was very exciting. I was quite like pumped up for the future holds. And Nepal happened because I was in Nepal just before COVID. Happened to be here, and then COVID happened, and then I stayed on, and my TikTok kind of went viral, and because of that, my YouTube and Instagram, everything started growing, and I was like, this is like really fun. Like in India, it's still like, it was like a pace that it was growing in, and that it was mainly Instagram, but here I had a new platform, TikTok, and Instagram was growing as well, and YouTube, and I was like, this is amazing. And then I felt like as a content creator, I was being able to make an impact more in Nepal. People were listening to what I was saying more here. So that made me stay on till I said that, no, I won't go back to Bombay. I think, you know, this is home. I have family here. Even though they'll never stop me, they let me do whatever I want to, but, you know, they're happy to have me. Yes, I have so many things to look after, and also it's easier. Bombay is the hustle, which I was very much into, and I was fine with it. But when you get away from the hustle and you're home for 2 years and you're doing good at your home, where you don't have to pay for the rent, you don't have to pay for the electricity, for the food, for the staff, it's like the family's taking care of it, then you're just like,
why would you put yourself through that again?
And even though I could have earned by now, I could have been making big money in Bombay because the industry is so big and I was growing there. Nepal, after a certain point, you cannot quote a higher price. However much your value grows, the market doesn't have that kind of money. So you're stuck with that. You just have to do enough work to be able to sustain. But I'm not spending so much money on like my rent and my bills in Nepal. So that's how that worked out for now. But I'm happy for now being here.
That's really good to hear. I think there's kind of a movement happening where people are enticed of coming back to Nepal, finding their roots, I think being with their family or relatives, or just being in Nepal and seeing what Nepal can offer as well, which is why it's so exciting to hear that you are finding work there, even though there is that cap because of your expenses are not as much, you are being able to sustain yourself.
Yeah. For sure. I think there are a lot of opportunities here for people who want to do things, because there's so many markets and like places to tap on where you can do startups and businesses. And I think it's just tough to, I think in Nepal, it's very tough to work under another company because then they pay you less and you're working really hard. But if you want to start something, and if I think someone has the skill and the capability to start something, I think that it's such a new market. There's so much scope.
Now with your content creation, Parakram, what does your day-to-day look like? Because you don't obviously have a 9-to-5, right? So you'll be doing a lot of brand collabs, going to events, etc. So what would your day-to-day or your week look like in terms of having a full-on week?
So I really try to cut down on events now because I'm just like, you're invited every day to an event. And if you keep doing that, what happens to your health? You can't be eating food outside and drinking and do for what, just to promote someone for free. So the events have been totally cut down now. I go for events that, maybe it's like to do with my work and who I've been working with. So for them, I would go. But on a day-to-day, I wake up about by 9, 10, and then I am not 10, by 9. And then I have my coffee, and then I have an agenda of the day, like to be productive. Say on a day, if I don't have any shoots, if I don't have any events to attend, the work stuff, if I'm going to be at home, then I try to like create content from home, like for my vlog, if it's for TikTok or Instagram. So I try to make it productive so that every day I have done something. But at times, like when I have work and a project, then I'm busy. Like this whole month, I've not had time to breathe. I guess today is the only kind of free day I have. Worked out perfectly. But otherwise, like with my upcoming projects, I think it's been a lot of work. So that's what a freelance is like. A lot of work comes and then you can be free for a while. So it is nice. I think it's my kind of stuff, freelance.
And what I'm really interested also is when you look at TikTok videos, it's literally a 1 minute or 2 minute long videos, right? But the amount of work that goes into creating such a short form post is quite big. So what does it take, for example, to create one of your TikTok videos? How long does it take you now?
So it's one of my dances or music, like music videos, like small music clips with my parents or mom or my aunt. For that, what takes time is like to know which song I want to play. And then on the spot only I do it. But yes, on the spot it does take, So on the spot it does take a lot of cuts and like getting the right shot. I'm quite particular about which shot to get and to get it perfectly. For me, it's like main time is like to think of ideas, think of content. That's what takes a lot of time. Once I get to shooting, I'm so impatient and want it to be done, as soon as possible. But YouTube and all of that definitely takes a lot of time because editing is like tedious and it's a lot of cuts. And if you are interested, if with content creation, what happens is that you can't always stay motivated. I mean, you need to be very disciplined for that. Unfortunately, I'm not as disciplined. So you have phases when you're not motivated, maybe a phase of 1 month, 2 months, sometimes even 4 months, even 6 months. And that's the time where you have to really test yourself and push yourself to still create content because it's your job by the end of it. And you need to also earn money. And that's the true test of time for me. Like I have phases of like few months where I'm like not motivated. It does not interest me, but this is the career path I've taken. I cannot, I need to make money. I mean, and that's when I really push myself and work towards it. And then there are a few months where you're like really excited to create content and go on. And then it comes to you just naturally. And then you're just like pumping out content and just having that peak in engagement. That's tricky. Being a freelance, you are answerable to yourself. So you don't have to like always make sure that there is something to do. You have to create it for yourself.
That's right. And I guess because you said you are quite active in social media, and we're quite aware the positive impact social media can have, but also the negative impact, right? Especially on your mental health. Have you noticed such an impact on your mental health because of your work? If so, how do you work around it?
For sure, many times I think in the field that I am in, people expect, would they give us a tag of an influencer, which means that you have to always influence people in the right way, or just it's you are the guru. I don't know what it is, that term
It's a
influencers, like, oh
responsibility,
yeah,
right?
like why do we get it? We are just random people who've made it, who've gotten some following on social media. Nor are we in a government job, nor are we in a political leader job. I mean, it's just like, we should use our platform to speak up for things, but the onus comes in. You cannot do it. You are an influencer. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. We all are influencers. We all, as human beings, have to be responsible. It's beyond the fact to put the pressure only on influencers. So it does take a mental toll because there are times where maybe your followers would really want you to speak up about a certain issue, but you aren't in a mental frame to be able to speak up and get that backlash and get all that
Of course.
attention. So at times like that, then I choose myself. And then obviously there are times when you are actually angry about the issue and you want to speak up. And then there's so much heated debate. And I've been very vocal about issues that are like unjust and make like just affect me. And it does lead to a lot of back and forth and like fights and things like that. But I think I've learned how to handle it now and handle it right. And with tried and tested and trial and error, I think gotten better.
Yeah.
But I think what I've realized over it all is that, you know, you have to think about yourself first. You are able to take it forward, whatever you've said. And if you can continue it instead of just speaking about it for one time and forgetting about it. And there are a lot of responsibilities, but as a whole, I think I've mastered the art of being able to do things more professionally in a more responsible and correct way.
That's great to hear. Have you ever had to take time off social media?
Yeah, there are many times where I do stop posting for a while, but then I'm just like, no, I need to make money. In Nepal, the money you earn is like, you'll earn it, but it gets spent in your daily stuff. So you need to constantly, at least for me, I need to constantly earn money so that I'm independent. So if I go out for too long, it's like I'm out of like work.
And I guess with Instagram or any other social medias, they're always changing their algorithms or the way things appear. So does that mean then you've got an extra responsibility of then keeping track of how these different social medias do different things, their algorithms, et cetera, as well?
Yeah, it's a pain with when they change the algorithms. Even with TikTok, the algorithms would keep changing. And I'm like, oh my God, now what? Like, but I think by the end of it, if the content is good and it's something that your audience wants to see, it always works. I feel like people as content creators tend to put the blame on the algorithm so fast. But the main issue is on how everyone is trying to do their best and trying to show their best version. And if you don't keep up, you are out. That's the harsh reality. Yeah. And it happens with me also. There are times where I have good engagement. There are times where people don't care what I post. So you have to stay up to date. And if you cannot, then you have to accept it and not only blame the algorithm, because there are other people whose contents are doing really well. It's not like everyone's content is doing bad. If yours isn't doing well, someone else is doing really well. So it's all like you have to know how to engage your audience, even if the algorithm changes. For me, if like people are interested in me, whatever the algorithm changes, it doesn't affect me. But there are times where people may get like slightly bored, like he's not doing anything new or there's nothing exciting. No matter how good the algorithm is, people are not interested. So the fast-paced world where we need to keep up if we are in this field.
Sounds very overwhelming to me.
Oh, it is. It is.
Now, you mentioned, Parakram, that you are very busy with your projects. This month, is this something you can share with us as well?
Yes, my music video. I've always wanted to be in a music video. And I was like, no one's asking me. All my other colleagues and people from the same field as me have gotten a music video. No one's asking me. Maybe I don't fit into the conventional commercial category being who I am. I said, well, that's right. I need to make it myself. As in, if I didn't make the TikToks and I didn't get the views and the attention from people, no one would have come and offered it to me. So that's when I was like, I need to make this myself. How do I go about it? I have to sing myself. So I've also sung this Nepali song by myself.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So I'm singing this song by myself, and I knew I could always sing, but for me it was like, how do I get the Nepali accent correct? Because when I sing in Nepali, I don't want people to like say, ah, such a funny accent. I want them to like enjoy the song and not get distracted by my accent. So I worked on that a lot, not on my Nepali as a whole, but like just getting the accent right on the lyrics of the song. Then I made the song, and now actually it's very similar to what your podcast is called. My song is called Yatra. And you're called Hamro Yatra. So when you contacted me, I was like, oh, awesome. Like, is this the universe giving me things to talk about it? So it's been a lot of hard work. It's made me made me realize how tough this is. But hopefully when everything is out, it will be worth it and people give the love. It's come out quite sweet, according to me. Hopefully people also like it and enjoy it.
Have you shown it to anybody else?
Yes, I've shown it to so many people. I've shown it to my family. My mother also is in the music video.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's basically a celebration of friendship. It's like in honor of all the friends that I've had in my life. So it had to have my mother. Mm-hmm. It has my mother on the first half. It has a friend in the second half who's playing the role of my best friend in the music video. So it's just sweet. It's just happy celebration, celebrating friendship, you know, how the moments when you have the moments you should, when you're with your friends, the feeling of feeling so good and just happy.
Yeah.
And I think it's all about that.
We're looking forward to seeing it. Does it come out on, you said Valentine's Day?
Yes, Valentine's Day. Why only celebrate like love? It can be platonic love as well. So I
of
think
course.
All kinds of love, friend, love of friendship. So I was like, Valentine's Day is perfect.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, Parakram, having been in India, working in like the hustle bustle, coming back to Nepal and still having to keep up with a lot of different changes, working in social media, what does success mean to you now?
You know, I don't know what success. I feel like I still have a long way to go for that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great start to where I've come, where people have shown love and just a lot of acceptance. Mm-hmm. I think for me, success is also like a lot of acceptance, because I think that was something which I was struggling with growing up, because I was so different. And you know, when you're in school and you're with young kids around, it was something that made me feel growing up that I wouldn't get as much acceptance being a gay man also. So I think that is something Nepal gave me, a lot of acceptance. That for me was success for me. Like, I got the love and support, even being different. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of hate, but if I counter it, I think there's a lot of support also coming. Mm-hmm. And I cannot focus on the hate when there's also a lot of love.
Love, yeah.
There will always be, there's always be hate for anyone who's trying to be out there. And just to get that much support and love, I think that was the most like feeling of just happiness and success. Like, okay, I have succeeded in this.
That's really lovely to hear. For those that are planning on coming back to Nepal and sort of hesitating, what would your advice be for them?
Those who are planning to come back to Nepal?
Yeah.
I think if you have your career and your work sorted in Nepal, definitely it's such a more peaceful and positive and happy environment to be around. I think Nepali people are more laid back, happy, more vibrant. And fun, but it could also lead to you being more lazy because everyone's having a good time. So make sure that you are making sure your work is done. But Nepal is beautiful. I think there's a reason why so many people from when they go abroad, they still want to come back to Nepal, even with lesser opportunities. You know, all my friends from Australia, USA, and always excited to be back or want to come back. I'm like, why would you guys want to come back? Like, the quality of life is so good there. You're earning so much more money. I mean, me from India only, I did want to come back to Nepal, but I was just being practical and saying, where do I start from? What do I do? It just worked out for me. But there's something that is lacking in the West and that makes them want to come back. And it's also being with family. I feel there's more depth in South Asia with like just expressing yourselves and being yourself and culture and family. You know, it's so individualistic in the West, and like some people can do it, but also in us, it's ingrained to be around family and culture. So however much we do, we need some of that. And I think that's what people crave to come back.
Yeah. I think it's a sense of home and a sense of belonging as well that you don't find anywhere else.
Yes.
I've lived overseas for quite a number of years, but every time I come back to Nepal, it's just like you just feel content and you just feel at home. And it's very difficult to explain to anybody else who can't feel the same things.
For sure.
Yeah.
Also, we're in the West and we'll always be second-class citizens because we're brown people, you know, even though they won't be racist in front of your face, but their behaviors and such, you feel like they may be treating us slightly differently because we are brown. And I feel that was something that I felt when I was in London, even though I was only there for 3 months. And I was like, I don't want to feel like I'm second, you know? So, and when you come, when I came back to Bombay and Nepal, I felt at home, like we all are there, you know. So that was also one of the big reasons I feel that I would have come back.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Parakram. It was lovely chatting with you and waking up this early as well. I know we've had a few things there, but it was really lovely getting to know you and hear your story. And I'm excited for your music video coming out soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was fun chatting with you.
As always, if you enjoy these conversations, please follow and subscribe to Hamro Yatra on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whichever app you listen to your podcasts in. You can also support us by leaving us a 5-star review on these apps. Share with your friends and family. Tag us at hamro.yatra on Instagram. Your feedback and shares make my day, so please keep them coming.